Not sure what else to say.
Do you know which type of exactly variance you're taking?
It's which variance? It's to make the front, the code is only a 5 foot.
6 foot. May I? 6 foot fence in the front yard.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So I think code only about a 5 foot fence, so.
3 foot
fence? So when it was erected by accident at the wrong height. It's surrounding the pool. So when it was fenced in, the height was made too tall, so I'm asking for a variance.
Generally, the next step is we have to get into a public hearing. This is generally an initial first meeting.
Okay.
You kind of introduce yourself, nice to meet you.
Thank you.
And then we will open up the public for the next hearing. And we have to get there. We have to continue motion to the board. Documents. And then generally next month, there's a bunch of steps that we have to go through to get the check and spin all of that.
But sure.
Up to the board, but they, does anyone have a motion?
I mean, from my standpoint, the application looks complete. It looks like it's, you know, just a height variance for the fence of the front door.
Correct.
Okay. Is that it, Luke?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so it's six. The code would require only four if it's in the location that he has it.
Correct.
And if he's got it at six?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the application looks pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I don't see any barriers to getting it on for a public hearing.
Okay. Does anyone have a motion one way or the other?
Is that okay? It's a motion to the
And for what date? For the July date? I think it's the July
24th. July 24th.
Is that clear? Yeah.
Okay. So I have had a motion and a second to put Mr. Gutman at 23 for the next meeting to have a public hearing. I'll ask the full board all to vote yay or nay. Please state your vote yay or nay.
Yay.
Yay.
Seeing no opposition, the motion to set 23 claim report to a public hearing at the next meeting is approved.
Thank you. Thank you all.
You generally in touch with you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all. Good evening. Thank you.
I'll still be in the neighborhood tomorrow.
Okay, so I'll call you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Have a good night.
Do we have anyone here from 68 Cal Holland Road? Seeing none. Do we have anyone here from the Pinnacle?
Just real quick, just on call. Jen, as a reminder, did we open the public hearing on that? So it's open or was it going to be open today?
No, it was going to be open today. I told them we would reschedule it. They didn't plan to attend. The homeowner agreed that they wanted it rescheduled for 7/24.
They didn't send out any of their notice or anything, did they?
So they send out the mailings, but they didn't do anything else. So they have to redo and do all the steps prior to the next meeting.
So I would suggest that you entertain a new motion tonight to set it for a public hearing on July 24th.
Sure. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Having no opposition, the motion to set 68 Cal Hollow Road to a public hearing for July 24th is approved. Oh yeah, I guess we could do that also. You make one good ish, we mentioned to go through the minutes from last month, we can put that out. I'm sure they're here, Jen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just behind the agenda, in the front of you, right in front of you. You're welcome. Who just seconded it? I'm sorry. Okay, just making sure I got it right. Thank you. Oh, got you. Okay.
No, you're right, we're right.
Okay. Anyone is here from the rabbinical college of come on in.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Daniel Russo with the law firm of Whiteman, Oshman and Hanna, Albany, New York. I'm here tonight with Joe Churgin and Dennis Rocks and others in terms of being able to just acquaint you with our application for a use variance for the Rabbinical College Institute. Subject to what you'd like to hear, sort of when and all the rest, I just want to present at least where we are. The Congregational Rabbinical Institute of Kharkov is proposing the establishment of a non-accredited rabbinical institute to educate and train up to 255 students in a 42,000 square foot building on its 119-acre site located on Route 202 and 306 in Cremona. Sites comprised of 12 separate parcels. The proposed action includes associated student and faculty housing in 255 units with accessory support housing units with accessory support facilities. Due to the religious beliefs, the students of the institute must reside on campus with their families. The site is zoned R40, the only district in the village of Pomona. And educational institutions are permitted via special use permit from the village board of trustees and site plan approval from the planning board. However, under the code, educational institutions are defined as including an accreditation by the New York State Department of Education or some other similar accrediting agency. Because the fact that the institute isn't operational now, and the religious nature of the proposed rabbinical institute, you cannot receive accreditation from the New York State Department of Education or other similar education accreditation agencies. And that the student housing that is proposed is not permitted in the code, either as dormitories or any other permitted housing. So in order for the institute to exist and come into existence, we need a use variance and a waiver of the special permit requirements and the site plan restrictions that relate to the housing units. So we have applied for a use variance to allow this education and use, which is not allowed anywhere in the village. We submitted applications for a use variance and the appeals of the two denials by Mrs. Dumo and we've supplied the application forms, part one of the EAF, et cetera. But as part of the initial action that we believe you need to address is consideration of the seeker part one and coordination of a lead agency, because the village board rejected our request for zoning amendments, which was an alternate way of trying to establish the institute. That is no longer available to us, so we're here to you, which is the agency that has the power to consider these things. The April 1st denial, submitted timely, et cetera, and we noted that we needed a use variance from your board. So we've supplied all of that. I think it would be helpful, though, if I can ask Dennis Rocks to show you a site plan so you have a better understanding of what it is that the Institute would like to establish on the site. And then I can address some of the legal arguments, or at least that are in the application before you. But I think it would be a good start to just.
We can go over. You can show us the site plan, but I'm not sure you need to address any of the legal arguments tonight, because it's not a public hearing. It's just kind of an initial get to know you. But we can take a quick 2-minute walk in to see what you guys are proposing this time.
All right. Thank you, Dennis.
Good evening. I'm Dennis Rocks from Brooker Engineering in Suffern, New York. and we are the engineering firm that prepared the site plans before you tonight, and as well as the engineering analyses behind those site plans to support them. We're very excited to be here tonight. We've done an incredible amount of work on these plans, and we're very excited to have the opportunity to share it with you folks. So we understand that tonight's more or less an introduction, and so let's try and get that accomplished. The a good way to start is with existing conditions. And so this is a survey of the property as of today. So here's the property here. This is Route 306, and this is Route 202. And so we're situated at the southeast corner of that intersection. So as Dan mentioned, the site is a total of 119.5 acres. It's comprised of 12 separate tax lots. One tax lot has the majority of the site area, which is 97 acres. That's the central part here. It's the site that formerly had Camp Fun. And so if you look closely, you can see the driveway up and all the structures that sit around the peak of the site. It's all of those Camp Fun structures. So that's the 97 acres. And then the remaining 22.5 acres is comprised of single-family lots that are situated along Route 306. And so those are 11 lots with 10 existing homes. So the site topography, let's come from 306, and we'll move from west to east across the property to give you a general flavor of what the site is like. So as you first start to travel east, the topography dips down, and there's a water course here, as well as some freshwater wetlands that are surrounding the water course. Then the property begins to rise up, and it hits a peak, a ridgeline more like, right here, and this is where that Camp Fun remaining infrastructure is located. And then it starts to slope back down. And then in the back area, there's some freshwater wetlands as well. And just for your information, on this site, we kind of ran out of paper here. So so this location here, this would go right on top of here. And that builds your complete 119.5 acre site. So that's existing conditions. And now, here is our proposal. So, here we are. So, the existing site driveway is located right here. And so, we are proposing to shift that driveway about 350 feet south to this location right here. And so, this will be the main access point, main driveway off of 306. And so you come in off here, and you kind of start to make your way up the hill. And then you make your first left, and then this brings you to this study hall. And this is where the educational activities will take place. It's a 14,000 square foot footprint. It's two stories, and it's got a full basement. And we provide a secondary emergency access driveway from there to Route 202. So then, the remainder of the site is student housing. And the way the student housing is configured, there's a grand total of 255 homes, residences. And they are configured as such. You can see there's like each two blocks of building consists of three dwellings. On the ground story, there is a flat, and the flat crosses over the full two blocks here. Then on the left side, the second and third floor will be more of a townhouse type architecture, and then the right side will be a mirror image. And so there's 85 blocks of these three student residences for a grand total of 255 residences. So the way we prepared this site plan, one of the things we always try to do is to marry a site to the topography, to the existing conditions, to work with the land. And that's what we did here. And we did that by really stepping the buildings as you work your way up and down the topography. And so we're running the structures and the driveways parallel to the slope. And so so we have a nice little driveway configuration where you come up here, and then you have a full loop around. And then for this area, we also have an emergency access drive out in this direction here. So other than that, we have a bus queuing driveway here. And so what will happen is this student housing, so the students are anticipated to have families and children, and the children will be educated off-site. And so this bus queuing area would be how we would organize transportation for the students to leave the site to go to their schools. We've also designed a full comprehensive stormwater mitigation system that it meets the New York State DEC Stormwater Design Manual, and it would be eligible for a CDES Stormwater General Permit. And so in order to do that, we have to design water quantity mitigation, water quality mitigation, and we've done a tremendous amount of work to accomplish that. And you'll see here, we have these basins spread out throughout the site, which is really the cutting edge for stormwater management. Stormwater management in the old days, you find the lowest point and stick it all there. And here, what we do is we distribute the stormwater runoff throughout the site and to try to mimic the existing conditions and to try to encourage as much of the stormwater to go back into the ground. So we have layout plans, grading plans, drainage plans, utility plans, erosion control plans, planting plans that were prepared by Kimberly Horn. We have driveway profiles, which are a really neat tool for seeing the existing grade and the proposed grade and how we try to marry the two. And that is the project in a nutshell. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
I actually just have one quick about the emergency exits.
Yes.
Those are only emergency exits, or those going to also be entrances and exits?
Only emergency exits.
Oh. And where does that one go out to?
This one's from Sherwood Ridge Road. It's kind of the bend where it turns into town. I'm going to flip it back to Dan if there's no other questions.
Bedrooms per units.
There's four, correct?
Bedrooms per unit.
Yes, four. For either type, for the townhouse unit or the...
Or the flat, yes. And in each unit is about 2,400 square feet.
How many stories are there?
So, the way it's situated, there's three stories total. The ground story is a flat, so one guy gets both sides. And then on the left side, floors two and three, a guy like that, it's more of a townhouse type situation. And then the right side would be a mirror image. So for each two units, two blocks you see here, there's three units, three student residences.
And then the height of those buildings is 35 feet?
35 feet, yes. Yeah, it's both the residences and the study hall, both 35.
In terms of its visibility from 202 or 306, the buildings and the structures, they're not generally visible, right?
Well, they'll be partially visible. It'll be comparable to Camp Fun. Like I was saying earlier, the proposed construction is predominantly in the area where the camp structures sit today.
Let me just add a couple of quick things.
We can't use it for anything else and get a reasonable return. That doesn't apply to us. Simply because it's a religious use that it's being sought, and that we don't believe that standard applies directly. And you have the ability to fashion a result that will preserve the rights of religious use on the site, as well as a reasonable development as well. So we're appealing to that authority that you have. And the village board chose not to exercise their discretion in that regard, but we're here appealing to you for that reason. What we're asking you to do is to advance this application forward so that you can be established as, a lead agency can be established for secret purposes, and ultimately a hearing scheduled and held, et cetera.
Sure. So, hearing what you're saying, you want to advance it forward. Are you looking for the next public hearing, or do you need more time? Do you need to push, to get ready for the public hearing?
The next available public hearing. We have, there's a lot of notices that have to go out, right? We're ready to go with that once we know when the hearing is.
Can I just ask a clarifying question? When you were making your presentation before the engineer came up, you were indicating what relief you were looking for, and you were looking for a waiver. Could you just clarify what relief you're looking for? I know the one application is the use variance, and you just clarified that and said, we're asking you to use your discretion not to apply the statutory four factors in New York state law. With the other two, the appeal on the site plan and the special permit application, what's the relief that you're asking for?
The relief there is analogous in the sense that we're seeking a building that can't be authorized, doesn't meet code. For example, the dormitory. The nature of the dormitory use for an educational use has strictures in it that are inconsistent with this. It would only be a single building, no bigger than 25 feet high, and wouldn't be able to have individual, basically service families. It would be a more typical dormitory of just students, and a large kitchen and et cetera. That doesn't work for the nature of this religious use. So the ability to waive certain requirements in the special permit application, which Mr. Zumo said, well, we can't because fundamentally the use isn't allowed. So they're all interconnected, and the same is with the site plan. There are provisions regarding waivers in those things, but the extent of that waiver and whether it applies to the use, Mr. Zumo is saying, well, the use isn't allowed, so you can't have a waiver.
Are you asking for the zoning board to step into the shoes of the planning board and the village board and review it under the site plan act criteria or special permit criteria?
They need to look at those issues, but if you grant the variance, it then would the special permit decision would go back to the village board, in my view, and the planning board as well. Joe?
Let me help a little bit.
Yeah.
So, as the zoning board of appeals, you have the authority.
Before you start, why don't you just introduce yourself?
I'm Joseph Churga. I'm an attorney as well.
You just got
to get for the record. Joseph Churga from Savage Churga, applicant's attorney. So, you as the zoning board have the authority to override the determination of your building inspector. The building inspector made a determination, which is correct under code, that this could not be done because, number one, the accreditation, and number two, no adult student housing, which doesn't meet your definition of a dormitory. Essentially, what he said is correct. We're trying to get to the same place. There's two different ways to get there. One way to get there is if you grant the use variance. The other way to get there is if you override the building inspector's determination that we can't have those things. It's a waiver. Basically, you'd be granting a waiver. So it may be semantical. What you're saying is, are we asking you to step in the shoes of the planning board? The planning board and the village board had the right, absolutely, to grant those waivers, and didn't.
So the waiver you're looking for is not the site plan criteria, not the special permit criteria. The waiver is simply of the accreditation requirement. Yeah. You're asking this for
the accreditation requirement, and also that you can't meet the dormitory requirements. So the same two things that we're seeking a use variance for, we're seeking a waiver for as well.
Are you also asking the board to be lead agency for secret purposes?
For this application, sure. We don't have a choice. Well,
yeah. What do you view on secret? What do you view as the scope of what the project is? What is the action in terms of, you know, what are the other involved agencies and so on?
The scope is the project. We're here, you happen to be the agency that has now received the application for the project. So coordination of lead agency from all of the agencies that have an approval of one form or another is, we believe is necessary.
So I'm sorry to interrupt. I apologize. No, but so do you mean, so that kind of gets to the first part of my question that I've come full circle on. So essentially, are you saying that this board would, you're asking this board to be lead agency for the entire review of the, like, all environmental impacts of the project as a whole? You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah,
this board is also not sitting in the planning perspective, and it's not sitting as the village board and reviewing it for special permit criteria, and it's not sitting as the planning board reviewing it for site plan criteria. So I'm trying to solve this circle and understand what the scope of secret review would be when all you're asking for is a waiver of the accreditation requirement, and then to send it back to those boards to actually do a review.
So I see the way you're saying it, the latter part, the way you said it now. All we're asking you for is either a use variance for two basic things, or waivers for those two basic things. It's your determination, not mine, whether or not you have to do CEQA for that. And I think you probably do, but it's your determination. If you do have to do CEQA for that, then yes, we want you to be a lead agency. I'm not coming to you and saying, zoning board, please give me site plan approval. I can't do that. If you give us the use variances, then I think another application comes later where we go back to the planning board with a site plan saying we have a use variance, so now our use is a legal use.
So
then they will go and do the coordination.
But so the legal issue that I'm having, that I just, maybe it's just my brain is broken on this. But if you're not asking this board to conduct the planning level review of the project, right? And
no.
Obviously there's significant environmental issues here. And I mean, I'm not going to pass judgment on what they may be, but it's obvious that there's a number of things you're already engineering that, the zoning board typically isn't involved in that kind of planning level, or the environmental review. So if, you're here without having an application there, and you're saying, like, if there has to be a declaration of lead agency on the application that's before this board on the use variance, what's the, without conducting a review of the environment.
I need Jen upstairs a minute. The body has to be released. I apologize. Jen, I need you upstairs to approve something. I'm sorry. I apologize. This comes. No, I'm sorry.
I'm just asking how you doing.
I apologize. Jenna, there's a system needs to be. I apologize. Something has to be released. There's an airplane waiting. I apologize. Thank you, Jenna.
No problem.
Thank you. Sorry. Jenna, please come up.
You said about me. I think I understand what's going on, but it's not our problem.
Well, I have to do death certificates.
No, it's just the transport. I don't need the death certificate yet.
You want to take notes? I don't know.
My key is not here.
Why don't we take a pause here?
Yeah, hang on.
The record should reflect the transport. there's an unrelated emergency that requires the attendance of the zoning and planning board.
Yeah. Yes, I started it again.
So it's
7 or 8:25.
Call this meeting of the Village of Pomona Zoning Board of Appeals back to order at 8:25.
Mr. McCartney, maybe just reframe the question so we're.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I have a very specific frame of the question. I think it's just a generalized, this idea of CEPRA, right? And your. The declaration of the agency and proceeding with the CEPA process is that, obviously, segmentation is an issue, but the issue before this board seems, you seem to be framing it in a very narrow fashion. You don't seem to be asking this board to do the planning work. You seem to be asking the board for relief in the form of either the use variance, with the use variance not allowing the use per se without the use variance allowing the applicant to go to the village board and the planning board to proceed with the planning process and the application of the planning criteria, the special use permit criteria. So I guess I'm just, with that said, since this board, you're not asking this board to review the engineering and environmental, I don't think you are, of the project, or maybe you are asking this board to do that. So I'm just asking for clarity on what you see this board's role in the CEPA process and what you see more globally as the CEPA process. And then we'll just leave it at that and we can kind of move on from there.
So let's be clear. This is not the first board we were attempting to put this project in front of. We went first, I believe it was the village board, we tried to have the law changed. Have a text amendment to allow us to do the use that we're talking about. That was rejected. We submitted a site plan to the planning board along with the waivers that we're talking about today, and that was rejected. So essentially, and we were directed here, I believe, by the building inspector, who directed us to come to you because the only avenue left to us is to have you either give us a use variance or an override of the denial of the waivers. So we're here because you, the way I see it, not you, we're here because the village directed us to go this way, and we're following the path that I believe was mapped out by your partner, Mr. Nugent, who was the attorney for both the village board and the planning board on the two prior submissions.
So what do you see as this board's secret role? What do you see as the secret process moving forward, just for clarity? And again, we may or may not agree on that, but I want to hear what you have to say about it.
I think in the first instance, you have part one of the EAF for the frames, what the secret requirements are in terms of describing the activities. So we didn't just provide a use variance from your board, it's use variance for the project. These are the things that the project contains. So you need to certainly establish a lead agency. You can do that by saying, well, we have this narrow role. If and only if we approve this variance, it will go back to the planning board and the village board for special permit and site plan approvals. If not, that's the end of it. And they'll be responsible for doing the seek review on the larger project. That's one way you can look at it. Another way is, well, we need to get all the involved agencies, the earliest possible time, and establish a lead agency, whether it's us or somebody else. It needs to be somebody. Somebody's got to step up to do that and look at the overall project, and our use variance may be just a piece of it. But those agencies don't have the power to consider it unless and until this board allows the use.
Have you given any, I haven't given it thought really yet, but and I don't know the implications of it, I haven't thought through it, but have you given thought to an uncoordinated review and how that might fit in here?
It's not a type, it's not an unlisted action, it's a type one action, so it wouldn't ordinarily be possible to do it. I mean, you could have a segmented view with respect to the role of the ZBA. Again, this is a very unusual sort of sequencing of things. That could be a way of looking at it, but some form of coordination seems to be needed. You know, a decision by your board, say, here's how we have to approach this given this complexity.
Okay.
But it's unusual. But your question, Mr. McGarty, is a perfect and appropriate one because it's unusual. This is not a norm. So I understand that.
So we also need it'll need GML reviews one way or the other. Right. This application at the very least will need GML
yes.
reviews.
Right.
We I know speaking to the clerk, we were she ordinarily puts it into the GIS system under the addresses rather than the tax map numbers. I know there's the ad you usually are listing one address or two addresses, but you have listed each and every tax map number, right?
It's, yes.
I'm looking like, for example, on the EAF.
Yeah, we had.
I got 1, 2, 3, 12, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 parts, right?
Yeah, they're all contiguous, but it's.
Right, yeah.
Oh, man. What in the world? Are you kidding me? We have a generator. Just give it a few seconds. Sorry, guys. Or more than a few seconds. What is going on? I did get an alert from Orange and Rockland Warming, but why didn't our generator turn on?
We're rocking.
You can't make up tonight.
We really appreciate your patience.
It would come back right away.
You can't make
up. Oh. Yeah.
Is there anything else you need from us?
I think we're good. Wow.
Well, just on the just in terms of timing on the GML issue, right? Right now, today's the 26th,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I know the either way, this is not going to be well. What I'm getting at is the next meeting, this board's next meeting. Is less than 30 days from now. So the question
August,
is,
yeah, the question.
Does it make sense to schedule the hearing for the August meeting or for the July meeting? The July meeting, we're not going to have any GML reviews back, I would imagine, and we have to get through this, you know, I guess figure out a way to deal with this secret issue in one way, shape, or form. The question is, do we, you know, I don't see any barrier to scheduling a public hearing. The question is, when do we schedule it now? Is it we schedule it for July or August?
So, if this is a discussion, I don't mean to cut you off.
But no, go ahead.
I think that there is an open question here about how this is going to proceed. And if you have questions for us, or if there's input that you want at all, have us at the July meeting. We understand that we're not going to have the GMLs in, and we're not going to be able to you know, go with the public hearing. But my client's been waiting a very long time to get to this spot, so.
And if we need to leave the hearing open because of the GMLs, we can do that as well.
Okay, yeah. Just trying to be practical about it.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, unless you have anything else for the board, or the board has anything else for the applicant right now, I mean, just being the first, you know, intro meeting, that it was a good intro.
I'm willing to entertain a motion. The board wants to put on the Rabbinical College for the next public hearing.
It's on the 24th. Prior to July 24th.
Yeah, correct.
July 24th. I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes unanimously to put the Rabbinical Institute of Particle on for a public hearing for July 24th, 2024.
Thank you very much. That's for all three applications.
It will be all three sure. applications.
Yeah, we've been talking about them all together. Yeah,
right.
They'll travel together.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you.
How long will you drink?
I will. Thank you so much.